Still looking at Joshua, the man, and the adventures that we see under his leadership with the children of Israel. And before we go on any further, I'll commit our time to the Lord, and then we'll see what God has. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come in this manner, and we do ask that your word will be sharp and powerful, that your spirit may take and use it, and myself, and that, Father, illuminate us to the wonderful things of yourself and convict us where it is needed. Father, if we need encouragement or a reminder, I pray that this will be this day. And we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I can't even remember when I preached last on a Sunday night last. It would have been a couple of weeks ago. But in that time, we saw how in preparation to go into the promised land, Joshua sent two men to spy out the land, and we know that story. And they quickly discovered that God had gone well before them, and he had brought terror to the people there in Jericho and also to the land. And people in the land were scared that the God of Israel was coming and what was going to happen. And so because of that, these two spies came back with a very different report to what the 10 did 40 years earlier. And let me read it to you. It's actually found in chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." And so they could see the wonderful thing that God had done in preparing them to go where God wanted them to go, as he always does. And so they brought this very exciting news to the people. And because of that, we read in the following chapter, in chapter 3. This, I remember Sunday night. Oh, Sunday night. Sorry, I'm going to close that. We need a big wall there. Chapter 3, and we're reading verse 1 to 4, this. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye shall go." And so he tells them to do that, and then we read the key for tonight, the key text, where Joshua tells the children, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." That's a big long word. Or before. "Ye have not passed this way before." And so he tells them to get ready, tells them what they're going to do, and he says, you need to have the ark out in front, and you need to leave some room because you need to follow it because you've never been this way before. And it's that idea, that little phrase, "ye have not passed this way before," that I want us to consider. Because what we see here with the children of Israel is they are about to face some new challenges in their life. Some new challenges. They knew what it was like to be in bondage to Egypt. They got used to that after a long time. They knew what it was like to go through the Red Sea. That's a past adventure. They even knew what it was like to see Mount Sinai and hear the voice of God. That wasn't new to them either. They knew what the wilderness was like. They knew what sand looked like, believe you me. They knew what it was like to live in the wilderness, but they had never been here before. They had never been in the promised land, and they were about to face some new challenges. They were about to face giants, for starters. They were about to face some cities and their walls that they had never seen before, and various other unknowns. And so they'd never been that way before. And realistically, as they camped there for those 3 days before going over into the promised land, this could have caused them to panic. if you stop and thought about it, there's a lot of unknowns. There's some things that we don't know. We've never done this before. And they could have allowed that fear of the unknowns and the what-ifs take control, and they react the very same way that their parents acted 40 years ago, where they start to think, hey, it's too scary, I don't think we will go. We've never been there before, so I'm not going. They could have quite easily acted like that, and I say that because that's how people still act today. When people haven't changed throughout the years. You know, many Christians, they have that Red Sea experience. They're saved. They understand what it's like to be saved and out of the bondage of Satan. And the Lord wants them to go straight from the promised land, straight from being saved into the promised land for the Christian, just like he wanted the Israelites to do as well. And he brings each Christian to that, and people have different phrases, but I would call it that Jordan River experience, where he wants them to live that sanctified life. And that can mean a lot of things. But generally what it means is where God wants them to live, where he wants them to live. He wants them to go where he wants them to go. He wants them to learn particular lessons that he knows they need to learn. And for many Christians, when they are faced with this, oh, you want me to do that? You want me to go there? You want me to learn this lesson? Instead of doing what they should be, they're overcome by fear and they don't want to go. And they don't want to do the things that they ought to. They're afraid to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'll do what you want. I'll be what you want. I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, you lead and I will follow. I wonder if you've ever got to that place in your Christian life where you said, Lord, I will do that. There's no restrictions, no what ifs. I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll be or go. I'll even go through and learn whatever lessons you determine I need to know. Have you got to that stage? If you haven't, well, then you're like the last generation. Oh, well, this is too scary. We're not going into that land, all right? We've never been there before, and I don't think I can trust you, God. But if you have got to that, well, then you're like this generation here, because there are many Christians like this. They get to that point, and they're willing to face the challenges. They're willing to learn the lessons. They're willing to be used by the Lord as he sees fit. And when a Christian decides to live that sanctified life, one thing is very sure, it always brings unknowns, new challenges. You've never been this way before. You know, sometimes these challenges are just the basic things in life that all of us have to face, but we have to choose if we're going to face it with the Lord's strength. For example, most of us have to go through school, but are you going to do it with doing it God's way? Most of us have to start working after school, but are we going to do it God's way? Most of us have to leave home, but are we going to do it in a manner that pleases the Lord? Most of us have to age, but are we going to do that in a way that pleases the Lord? You know, these are just the common things. But you have to come to terms with just the everyday things. Am I going to do it God's way? But then there are things that may be more unique to different people that aren't to everyone. You know, we're all gifted in different ways. We have spiritual gifts and talents, and God wants to use us in different ways. And whatever how he's gifted us, God will come to a point in your life where he says, hey, I've gifted you in this way, I want to use you this way, and I want you to go this direction because of it. And you're going to say, hey, I've never been that way before. And you're going to have to work out if you're going to trust him for that. You know, imagine you get called to be a missionary. I haven't been called to be a missionary, but I think, wow, I have never been that way before. Imagine all the unknowns and the things, and you have to work out, it's like the children of Israel, ready to go into the promised land, am I willing to face all those battles that comes with being on a mission field? It may be being called into the ministry of being a pastor, and I know what that's like, but there are a lot of things that you're not sure about, and there's a lot of unknowns. It could be as simple as using your talents in the local church, music, various things, But the reality is there are things that you have not done before. And it can be scary. But you know, there's even maybe even more unique things to some people where God says, I'm going to allow something to come into your life that is going to teach you a lesson that I want you to learn, and it's going to be hard. And you have to work out, will I take it and trust God through it, or am I going to lean to my own understanding? It could be loss of a job. Wow, I've lost my job. What do I do? It could be loss of a loved one. It could be a sickness or a disease. And you have to work out, am I going to honor God through this and seek His will and ways, or am I going to try and do it all myself? Well, there's going to be lots of unknowns if we want to live how God wants us. And the question is, how can we make sure that we do things how God wants in these times, if we want to live the way that He wants? Well, the good news is there's some certain things that God tells the children of Israel in preparing to go to a place where they've never been before that we can apply to ourselves. And so for the rest of this evening, I just want to briefly look at the three things He tells them in preparation that we see here. The first one is, we've already read it, they were to keep their eyes on the Lord. That's the first thing. It says there in verses 2 to 4, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went throughout the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go. And so He makes it very clear, the Ark of the Covenant is going to be out in front, and the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of the Lord. When they're following the Ark, they're following the Lord as the children of Israel. And He also says, make sure there's a good distance so you can keep your eye on it, so you can see where you're going, that you may know the way by which ye must go. They hadn't been this way before. They didn't even know where God wanted them to go as they were going into the promised land. So what He wanted them to do was to follow Him, which was seen in that ark. Now we're going to quickly discover that the ark wasn't going quite where it made sense. And that's the key. When He says, I want you to follow the ark, and then the ark starts going, they're going to realize, hey, this doesn't make sense. These priests were commanded to go directly to the Jordan River and walk straight into the water. And they weren't going to go and find a bridge to go across. They weren't going to go down the Jordan, find a nice shallow area. They're going to go straight into that Jordan River where it was deep and it was flooded, and they were going to go straight into that water, which, with logic, doesn't make sense. And what you will discover as you start following the Lord, if you haven't already, or you will know in your walk with the Lord, doing what God wants often doesn't initially make sense. All right? It doesn't make sense what He wants you to be doing. And the world will quickly say there's a far better way to live and a far better way to do things. And quite easily we're tempted to agree with the world because it does make sense compared to what God's Word says. And that's when you have to choose, who you're going to trust. Do you trust the world? Do you trust your own deceitful heart? Or do you trust God's Word? And when the Israelites were told they were to head straight for the Jordan River, I guess there were some of them saying, because let's not think that they were just really godly people and they always trusted God, because we know that that wasn't the case. There might have just been a few that did. I'm sure there were a few saying, now this doesn't make sense. Why are they going this way? This is straight into the water. What, is He going to do another miracle? I doubt that. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of people doubting God. That was 40 years ago as well. So let's not think they were that keen or great in this regard. But they had those words of Joshua ringing in their ears, you need to follow the ark. And that's why it's so important to know God's word when you're trying to make decisions for your life. And if you don't know God's word well enough, you go and find someone who does know God's word well enough to say, is there something in God's word that tells me or shows me if this is a bad idea or what God wants me to be doing at this time? And I think it's important to remember that's why God put verses like Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Because we so easily want to just do what we think is best, because often what God says is best doesn't seem to make sense. You know, I think one of the lessons I've learned over the years, it's a common one, all of us. I'm old enough, as you can see, that I've gone through two different ways of navigation. There was the Collins Street Directory, and if you know that, you're old, all right? The Collins Street Directory, where it tells you everywhere where you go. And you have to, especially if you get married, you've got to rely on your wife to do it. But if you're single, you actually had the book and you're looking at the directory as you're driving along and you're trying to work it out. And it felt safe because you knew exactly, you actually follow that before you go on a trip, so you sort of know where you're going. But these days, and I know I've changed, like last Saturday or the Saturday before, Linda and I went down to Melbourne and we went to an address, didn't have a clue, never been there before. But the beauty is with the GPS or maps, I guess it still works on GPS, you just put it in and you push go and you follow it. I've never been to that place before. I have no idea where to go, but I follow it without any doubts in my mind. It's going to get me to where. It's proven itself enough. Sometimes I haven't quite got there, but over the years it's got better, and you just put it in. And the weird thing is, if it sends me down a dirt road, I'm still going to follow it. It'll get me there. I know. I trust it. If it sends me and I think, I thought I'd be going that way, but it's sending me this way, I still follow it. I follow it without any doubts these days, for wrong or for right, all right? And it made me think, do I do that with God's word just as well? You know, you're going along, you know what God has said. Do I follow him without question? All right, doesn't make sense, but I know his word is right. Do I obey what God tells me, even though I feel like we should be going another direction? How much trust do I have in God's word compared to the GPS? And I have to admit, probably I have more trust in the GPS at times. I follow it without question more than God's word, even though God's word never gets it wrong. But that's what God wants us to be doing, first of all. Know his word, know his promises, and then obey him. Follow him. And so when you come up to doing what God wants, and you have been somewhere you've never been before, we've never been this way before, first thing is, let's find out what God says about this, and I'm going to trust him regardless and follow him. Second thing he says is they were to sanctify themselves. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And so for God to do wonders, he wanted them to be sanctified. And I know probably half of you or most of you didn't hear this morning's message, but it talked about how if we want to draw nigh to God, one thing we have to do is have our actions and our hearts clean before him. And that's how we can grow close to the Lord and have him do wonders in us. But that's what was needed there with the children of Israel. With the children of Israel, to sanctify themselves could have meant a number of things, and it probably meant all of them. It would have meant getting rid of any idols that were amongst them, clean out the rubbish. It would have meant actually cleaning their clothes and their bodies. That was sort of a way that sort of outward sign that they wanted to be clean, and they were to prepare their hearts and minds so that they were clean vessels for the Lord. And when they did that, God said he would do wonders among them. He'd work in them, through them, and for them. And brethren, nothing's changed. You want God to do something? You want him to use you? Well, then you need to be a vessel fit for the master's use. You need to be sanctified. Get rid of any idols and rubbish. clean your actions. That's what James talks about. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Make sure your actions are right. Make sure your heart is pure. And when you do that, God will do wonders amongst us. You want God to revive your heart? You want God to revive us? And as we start to come back, I hope there's revival in a wonderful way. You know, we're all together and we're enjoying things we haven't. Well, if we want to see God do wonders amongst us, it takes individuals to be sanctified. But then the last thing is he wants us to obey him, and that is found in verses 9 to 17. And I'm not going to read this, but what we're told here, I'll just give you my little abridged version of it, and that is, the Lord told them to pack up everything, pack up their tents, get all ready, and then when they see the priests start marching, they were to follow, and then once they were obeying and following, then God would do the wonders in front of them. And what we see is when they touched the water, then the waters would open and God would give them a free pass. But they needed to get ready first, sanctify themselves, pack up the tents, and be ready and start following. It wasn't the other way around. If they had said, no, we're not doing anything until we see what you're going to do, all right? You open up the Jordan, then we'll start packing. You know, they're never going to see a miracle, are they? God needs to see faith in action, where he gives us his word, he makes a promise, and then he tells us to obey. And then when we start to obey, then God starts to do wonders amongst us. He gives us the victory that we're wanting. He gives us the grace to be able to cope. He gives us the ability to do something. You know, for example, if you're called to be a missionary, he's not going to give you all the answers before you go. If you say, no, I want to know exactly what's going to happen when I get there, I want you to lay it all out and then I'll see if I'm going to go. You're never going to go, and God's never going to do anything. But it's the ones who prepare properly and then step out in faith, they're the ones who gets to see God do wonderful things. And that's what happened with this. They started to follow, and in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all the banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeredtan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." And so they sort of had their own little Red Sea experience. God did the same miracle, showing he's the same God, doing another miracle at the Jordan River. When the priests dipped their feet in the water, things began to change. And this is the key. If you don't remember anything else from tonight's message, this is the one key thing I would like to leave with you. And that is, if we want to see God do something in our life, we have to be willing to dip our toe in. That's the key. When we're going somewhere we don't know, we've never been before, there's all these unknowns, God says, I want you to trust me. And what that means is you've got to dip your toe in. You've got to start to obey. And maybe the Lord has laid something on your heart, how he wants you to serve him in a certain way. And I don't know what it is. But I have never done that before. That's scary. Well, you won't really know how God can use you and bless you until you dip your toe in. And you say, okay, I will start to serve in that way. And then you'll see God do wonders amongst you. Maybe the Lord wants you to take a certain path, and I don't know what it's all about, but he wants you to surrender to him first and say, God, I will accept your will in my life, and I'll do as you say, and I will live according to you with this unknown thing. And once you submit to his will, then you see God start to do wonders. You know, if the Lord's been convicting you about something over the years, weeks, months, even days, understand it won't be until you dip your toe in that you'll see God do his part. God did glorify himself that day, and he did a wonderful thing for the people. Jordan opened up. And what was their responsibility? Follow the Lord, sanctify themselves, and obey him. And when we do that, we also will be amazed at the opportunities the Lord opens up and the blessings he'll bring upon us. And then we'll see God do wonderful things. And so that's what I've got from that little passage. I think it's a really important passage for each one of us if we want to live how God wants us to live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. And we thank you that, Lord, you want to use us in all different ways, not just one way. And Lord, regardless if there are things we've got to face that everyone faces or unique to our calling with our gifts or circumstances in our life that arise that you think are lessons we need for one reason or another. Help us not to lean unto our own understanding and flee your will, but Lord, submit to your will. And Lord, be willing to trust you and see you do those great things. I pray for this. Help us all to trust you in this way. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.